Can't believe I remembered that. All right, today is April the 4th, 2015. No, April the 12th, I'm sorry. April the 12th, 2015. I'll get all my numbers right in a minute. See, I told you I didn't multitask well. Nobody believes me. April 12th, 2015. And, yes. Pal Talk study this morning is going to be a result of two things. One is our meeting yesterday, and most of you know we were out here to meet with some fellas that on a group that Forrest is a member of called Scripture Research. And we met with those fellas, had about a good five, I guess more like a 6 hour, after we did all the bios and introductions. Turned out to be more like a 6 hour meeting yesterday with these fellas, who know the mystery, who are, I think, sincerely interested in truth. A lot of points that, they and I would probably disagree on. So we have some discussion to do there, but hopefully we can do that discussion, in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And that's one aspect of my study this morning. The other aspect is Josh's study that you may or may not have heard last Tuesday night on Pal Talk, which I thought was absolutely wonderful. And it was on 1 Corinthians 13 and love and how we are to love one another. So my study this morning hopefully will dovetail in both with Josh's study last Tuesday night that he wonderfully presented, and the meeting that we had yesterday with the fellas, that are at least partially, in agreement with some of the points that we are in agreement with. Now, my verses today, and I told Gary when I logged on a few minutes ago, it's crazy coincidental that the verse that he had as the, welcome verse when you log into Pal Talk is my theme verse this morning. Which is, I don't know how you did that, Gary. You must be hooked in pretty well this morning. But it's going to be Philippians 2:2. So before we get there, turn with me to Philippians 2. And we're going to do a, it's going to require a good bit of Greek breakdown. If you heard my study last Sunday, the main theme of what I wanted to put forth last Sunday was not only the interaction of the four Gospels at the resurrection day of Christ, the day that Christ resurrected. But one of the main points I wanted to make was concerning translations and the fact that a lot of times translations can present the scripture in an English light where a lot of times a different English word would have been better, or sometimes there is actually no word in the Greek, and I think Mike may even attest to this. There won't really be what we would call a perfect equivalent Greek word for a particular English word. And even the fact that English words down through time change meaning. I'll give you a good example. Everybody knows what gay meant back in the 1800s, right? It meant festive, happy, lighthearted. Gay does not mean that anymore. If you say gay to somebody in the English language, it means something totally different than what it meant back in the 1800s. Totally different meaning to the word. So, you get my point. The fact that the word Easter has crept into our scripture tells me immediately that the translation is not inspired of God, because if it had been, it would be correct. It would have been pasha, like it's supposed to be in the correct Greek. But the translators inserted the heathen word Easter. So, pretty much proof to me that we can't completely trust what's going on in the translation a lot of times. You know, for some reason, anyway, we'll get it. We'll run out of juice. Hopefully, I can get done by then. Won't keep you too long. But anyway, what I wanted to do this morning, I wanted to look at an aspect of that Paul presents, and get into some of the Greek so that we can put some of these verses back like they originally were. And if I had to title the study, Chip, I'll title it for you, and you can hold my feet to the fire on it, is like-minded. And Barney's smiling over there. He heard our gig on him last week. Chip and I went about as far as we could trying to name Barney's studies. It's very difficult to do. Barney's studies are great to listen to, but man, they're tough to name. If you're trying to put a one word or phrase name of Barney's studies, good luck with that. They're wonderful studies, but they're difficult to name. So, yeah, we'll call this one like-minded. You know, we all have a picture in our mind of what this English word like-minded means. Kelly, I'll make you talk this morning. What do you think like-minded means? If in the English language, if I say, are you like-minded? What do you think that would mean?
Maybe coming from the same perspective of the same heart.
Everybody agree with that?
If my wife says so, then I'm like-minded.
Forrest always has a wonderful answer. See how he covered himself there. So that's that thinking ahead thing that, you know, that takes place. Like-minded, and that's what I'm going to call this study. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and let's read a few verses. And I didn't get as much of this put together as I would have liked to have when I finally figured out what I was going to speak on this morning. Since I'm not doing John anymore, I seem to spend more time trying to figure out what to speak on than I do getting it together. Do you guys have that? Do you have that same problem trying to determine what the subject is? Okay, well, I have that problem. The book is so big and so vast. I'm getting harassment from the peanut gallery over here. The book is so vast and so wide-reaching that it's very difficult for me sometimes to home in on one little point so that I can try to bring it and make a little sense out of it. But read with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 2. And I got somewhere I want to go with this. And Paul in Philippians 2:1 says this. He says, I'm going to read all four verses, 1 through 4, Tony. And then we'll go back and do a little exegesis, at least on the first two, and try to glean a little meaning from them. It says, Paul says, if there be therefore, and the therefore is important. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or incentive of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and you can see by the repetitive use of if here, if there be this, if there be this, if there be this, if there be this, that he's setting up a premise. And his premise has to do with the therefore there, I believe, in verse 1, that points back to something even further back. So he says, therefore, on account of what I've just said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there be any bowels of mercy, now he's going to say something else. And here's what he says in verse 2. And verse 2 is going to be my emphasis verse today. It's going to be the target verse. And the word like-minded in verse 2 is going to be the target word. Fulfill ye my joy, he says, that ye be like-minded. Remember what Kelly said. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, you may think from a 30,000 foot view flying over those four verses that they mean that we all agree completely on everything. Is that what that really says? Or is it not? Let's go back and look, if you would, let's go back and look up and read for the therefore part of verse 1. Now, remember what we just read in 2, 1 through 4. Go back up to verse 27 of chapter 1, if you would. And Paul's coming off of some statements that he made earlier in chapter 1. It's hard to pull all this into a statement. And you remember in 21 through 25, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, but if I live it, I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to part. He's coming off of saying that. And in 126, he says, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And then in 27, he says, only. And the only there is only let or exercise your citizenship or behave as citizens. The lesson here is in our behavior as citizens. It's in our walk in Christ. It's how we present this word to others. And I believe it's not only those that we agree with to a high degree, but it's those that we disagree with sometimes at a pretty high degree. We have to have the same demeanor toward them as we would those that we agree with as well. He says, only let your conversation, your citizenship, your walk, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, striving together. Now, let's put that, we'll go back to my Power Bible here for just a minute. And let's go backwards and read that verse if it were translated out a little better there in verse 27. Now, it says, only let your conversation be, and that is to behave as a citizen. As it becometh the gospel. And that's the good message, of course, the gospel of Christ. Let our walk, let our means of citizenship, our way of conducting ourselves, be as the gospel of Christ. That, or in order that, whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast, which is steko, and it means to be stationary, within one spirit, the Holy Spirit, with one mind, and that's mind there is not mind, it's the Greek form psuche, which is, there again, it's one breath. It's one breath, that you be with one spirit, with one breath, striving together. And here's the key. Striving together means to wrestle in company with. Striving together is a word that has a connotation a little bit of what we were doing yesterday in that meeting where we had these discussions together. Chuck, at the very beginning, presented a little study that he had been working on. It was 5 or 6 printed pages, and there were several things in Chuck's study that he presented that I immediately wanted to say, well, man, that's not right. I disagree with that. I don't think you're right on this. And I had to sort of catch myself and hold myself back because this wrestling here, this striving together, the son of Phileo, the spirit of this can take a wrong turn if you let it. Because we are not all ever going to 100% completely agree on everything. I could go around the table here, and with everybody here, with the exception of my wife, nobody is going to completely agree with me. Boy, she's looking at me funny now.
She didn't even agree with that.
No. But you see my point. Yesterday, you know, you can almost sit there and when somebody says something that you looked at before, or if they attack one of your pet beliefs, and the first thing that you want to do is all the hackles on the back of your neck stand up like a dog. You ever seen a dog or a cat when you tick them off and they puff up?
Oh, yeah.
That's it's that feeling. It's that exact feeling. But it's the Spirit of Christ. When Paul says that we through this one Spirit, the one Spirit is what we're to focus in. And this one breath that we have together, the breath of Christ. That's what we're to strive together through, to wrestle in company with, to seek jointly. These fellows that we sat with yesterday are just as convinced that they have full truth as we are. In their mind, if you can do what Paul says in verse 3 of Philippians 2, if you can put yourself in their place for 2 seconds, just 2 seconds, you'll realize that they are as convinced of what they believe as we are of the things that we believe that we disagree with them on. And once you come to that understanding, you go, oh, well, I see how they feel now, because I know how I feel about what I believe, because I wanted to jump in there and tell Chuck how I felt about it yesterday. But it wasn't the place, it wasn't the time, and I wasn't in the correct mind frame to do so. It takes dealing through the Spirit. So what Paul is striving to tell us here in Philippians 2, remember, I think it's based on what he says in Philippians 1:27. Let's read that again. Only let your conversation, your walk, your citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, this gospel of Christ is a pretty heavy thing to carry. It's a heavy thing to have with us. It's a big responsibility. We, as believers in what we believe, have a huge responsibility. To whom much has been given, much is expected. And we have been given, think about what we have been given in Christ. Think of all blessings that are spiritual in the heavenlies. What have we been given in Christ? It's incredible to even try to get your brain around what we've been given in Christ. So that is the standard that holds us to the behavior that we should have. It's that important, the behavior that we should have as we approach others that may or may not be in agreement with us. And let's face it, you are going to run into people in your life that disagree with where you stand in Christ as a group more than you're going to run into people that agree with where you stand. And once you get out in this world, outside of this house, you know, in this house here and in several other houses that I would go to, you know, I'd go to Doherty's house, my dad's house, Carolyn's house, Chip's house, Tony's house, all these houses I could go to, my agreement level would probably be maybe in the 80 to 90% range. If I go down the road to a Baptist church and walk through the door, Church of God church, walk through the door, Presbyterian church, walk through the door, my agreement level goes down dramatically. Maybe 50%. Maybe 40%. Look at it that way. Look at it, you know, where you are as opposed to where somebody else is and how much you think you can agree with them. And you hear me say at the end of my studies that agreement is not all that important. And it's not. It, you know, the fact of whether I agree with these folks or not, I don't think is all that important. The fact is that you say something in a godly way in Christ that can make them think and consider and study more things. You know, those guys did that to me yesterday, and I'm thankful for that. Now I've got a thing I've got to go home, I've got to study out, and I've got to either reaffirmate where I stand in it, or I've got to change my mind, right? Can we change our mind? Does it hurt our pride sometimes? Is that a good thing? Yeah. Anytime you get your pride hurt, that's a good thing. Because that's some of the junk we're supposed to check at the door whenever we get this word out to study it. That's why I appreciated so much what we were able to do yesterday and was enhanced by what happened to me pretty greatly. So this wrestling together, back to Philippians 1:27. The striving together, it doesn't say that we're fighting. It doesn't say that we're bickering. It doesn't say that we turn around and stomp off in anger. What this says is that we as believers have to do it a little bit better. You strive together. If there's no interaction, if there's no discussion of the things in a godly way that we disagree on, neither of us will ever grow. And if we just fight about it, we give the unbelievers what? We give them, I told you so. That's all that religion stuff is good for. It just causes people to kill each other. And they'll point to the Muslims and the Christians and everybody else that more people get killed in the name of religion than any other reason. And they would be right because it's religion. Religion has nothing to do with son of flesh, the striving together, because that's striving against each other. Religions strive against each other. The love of Christ strives together to get the answers. That's what we should be doing. Because it says striving together for the faith, the pistis of the gospel. The faith of the gospel is what we're striving together to get to. Now, let's read 28 through 30. Paul says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." See, they look at God and the things of God as being one way. You look at it as another. Now, these are your adversaries, I believe, here, because that word adversaries is the Greek antikema, which means to lie opposite or to be adverse, to be contrary to or to oppose. Those who oppose us oppose Christ. Those who oppose scripture research, I think, would be opposing Christ. But then, and I say that in all fairness because I don't completely agree with scripture research. But I tell you what, the guys have Christ. And that's the key point that we should always understand about any place that names the name of Christ that you walk into. They may not completely agree with you. They're somewhere on the percentage scale as far as agreement goes. But they still have Christ. And we're in no position to judge whether they do or they don't. That's not up to us. That's up to the Father. 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now sometimes that striving, I think, that wrestling can lead to some suffering. And that doesn't mean that, you know, Mike has me down in an arm bar and he's making me suffer. Number one, because Mike can't get me in an arm bar. But you get my point. You get my point with this. But this is kind of a heart suffering. It's not a physical bodily suffering. It's a heart suffering. And he says in 30, having the same conflict, agon, where we get our word agony, a place of assembly, by implication a contest, figuratively, an effort or anxiety, some conflict or contention, having the same contention. Which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Now, let's go back and let's break down 1 and 2 a little bit here. Paul says if. And the if here, he says it 4 times. It's the Greek word ei. And in the indicative mood here, it means putting the condition simply. And he's putting the condition simply, why? Because I believe the therefore that he mentions next points directly back to verses 27 through 30. He makes a statement in 27 through 30 about how our discussions are supposed to be with those who we wrestle with in that Greek word there. So that's what the if means, and he uses it 4 times. It's in the indicative mood, putting the condition simply. The hypothesis is assumed as an actual fact. So when he says, if there therefore be any consolation, what he means is because there is consolation, because the hypothesis is assumed as a fact. He says, because there's consolation in Christ, Because there's comfort of love. Because there's fellowship of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. So, if there is assumed as an actual fact, then of course the therefore in verse 1, I believe refers back to what he said previously in verses 27 through 30, setting the stages for his admonitions here in 2 through 4. Consolation there, he says, if there be therefore any consolation, and that's a nice word in the Greek, paraklesis, and it means comfort, solace, if there's any peace, comfort, solace in Christ. And certainly there is. If there be any consolation in Christ, comfort there means is the Greek word paramuthion, and it means stimulating force or incentive. If therefore there be any comfort in Christ, any stimulating force or incentive of love. What? You mean love is the incentive that we should be running on here? Why else? Is Christ love? Yes. Is love Christ? Yes. If one is true, the other is true. So the stimulating force, the incentive should be love, not anger, in how we go and present ourselves before others to discuss these things. And I thought about this a lot yesterday after the meeting. And after having dinner with these guys, you know, we had them over last night, had some fellowship time with them. And that word's in here too, amazingly. The next word's fellowship. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any incentive of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. And that's koinonia. And it means partnership. Did you know that? Fellowship there is not the word that we typically use for dispensation, like the fellowship of the mystery. It's not that word. It's koinonia, which is a partnership or participation together with others or a social mingling. So he says if there, if any social mingling of the Spirit, a mingling of the Spirit with us, if any bowels, which is splanchnon, which means, I didn't say that right at all, it's a deep down inward affection or a tender mercy. Any bowels of mercies. Mercy that comes from you completely from the inside, straight out of this love that's in Christ Jesus. So you see how Paul's setting the stage for how we're to be Pauline-like in our presentation. So he says, if there be any of these things, and he names all four of them, fulfill ye my joy, he says in verse 2. 2 is now the target. We're getting down to the brass tacks of what Paul is trying to tell us to do. Fulfill, pleroo, accomplish or complete my joy, he says. That, or in order that, in verse 2, ye be like-minded. There's our word. Be like-minded. And from my sources that I was able to round up on the computer here, that's the Greek term autophroneo. Autophroneo. And it means to be yourself, one who exercises the mind, to entertain or to have a sentiment or opinion or to be disposed to a certain direction. Did you hear one admonition in there to agree with somebody? You did not. The word like-minded in the English is a very poor translation, in my opinion, of the Greek form phroneo. And I'll read it to you from my computer, from the Bible. Let's see, what is this thing? Power Bible. It says, to exercise the mind, i.e. to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. It means to think, to have an opinion about something. It doesn't mean that I've got to have the same opinion as Kelly. We disagree on animals a little bit. Is that okay, Kelly? Yeah. We disagree on animals. Yeah, no messing with the animals. I told her yesterday that Drew and I have some pigs, and she thought that was just great until I told her what Drew and I plan to do with the pigs. Now all of a sudden I'm not such a good guy anymore. So you see, we don't agree on that, but the beauty of it is, the word like-minded there, you're totally free because you don't have to agree with me. That's not what it means. The word like-minded here does not mean to agree or to have total agreement. It's a very poor translation from Greek to English, in my opinion. It means to exercise the mind, entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, by implication to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction, intensively to interest oneself in, to set the affection on. And this phrase, incidentally, or this word phroneo, is really interesting in the scripture. It's used 21 times. The Greek word is, not the English, but the Greek word. The Greek word the English word like-minded only appears 3 times. And every time you see it, it is coming from the Greek word phroneo. It's used in Romans 15:5, Philippians 2:2, like we're reading here, and again in Philippians 2:20. Incidentally, of the 21 times phroneo is used in the New Testament, a full eight of them, almost half, are in the book of Philippians, which I thought was very interesting. Some of the other renderings of the word, and if you do a search on the word like-minded, they range everywhere from Matthew, rendered as "for thou savorest." It's also rendered as "thou thinkest." It's rendered in Romans 8:5 as "for they that are after the flesh do mind." Phroneo, they think on, they intensely have an opinion about, they do mind worldly things. That's what phroneo means there. It's rendered "to think" in the English. It's rendered "mind." In the English, it's rendered "he that regardeth" in the English. You see, unless you do a Greek search for this word, you're going to be thoroughly confused about what phroneo means. If you just see, well, phroneo is like-minded, you assign the English meaning to that word, you're going to be very confused. And you're going to be, in my opinion, you're going to be a long way from what the inspired root scripture really meant. You're going to be led astray, not intentionally, but for lack of digging. And I'm as guilty as the next one. Now, when I had the idea about like-minded, I went into it to see about it, and when I got in there, I was totally surprised by what I saw in the Greek word that I found. So, means to set the affection on, and interestingly enough, guess where the last time the word phroneo is used in the New Testament. Anybody? Well, Barney knows.
Did you just give us a hint?
Colossians 3:2.
Did you just give us a hint?
Colossians 3:2.
That's a hint.
How about that for a hint? Yeah.
No, I mean the affection. You said set the affection on that.
Yeah. Set the affection. Set your affection. Phroneo. Have a opinion. Intently think. Doesn't mean to agree with somebody. It's the same word. It's like-minded. It's the same word that's translated like-minded. So we got to get that out of our heads, I think. Set your affection, phroneo, on things above, not on things on the earth. And if ever there was a charge for our dispensation, I believe that's it. Think. Intently think. Have a sentiment or an opinion or be disposed to a certain direction. And Paul here is telling us. He's saying be disposed in the direction of thinking on things above, not be disposed in thinking of things on the earth. So if you take a close look at that word phroneo and you look at what Paul, I believe, is actually trying to tell us here in Philippians 2, then I think the next two verses come come to be a whole lot clearer. Let's read 3 or 4, and I'm done. We'll have some discussion or entertain a little extra discussion about it. He says in 2, let's read it again. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be phroneo, like-minded, having the same love. Now, having the same love there, let me look at this. Echo means holding, literally or figuratively, to hold. Holding the same love. Keeping it within your grasp. Keeping a grip on this love. Holding the same love. Being of one accord, which means in the Greek, samsukos. And it means co-spirited. Similar in spirit. Like-minded. So we should all be similar in the way that we let the Spirit deal with us, I believe, in dealing with others. We are not, I don't believe, told here in Philippians to be in total agreement with each other. I don't believe that's what Philippians, after looking this morning, I don't believe that's what Philippians 2, 1 through 4 is telling us. What it is doing otherwise, I believe, is giving us our interaction instructions with others, how we are to treat them, how we are to entreat them, and how we are to conduct ourselves when handling the most wonderful thing that we've been given as human beings, and that's this book that we have in front of us. We can't go through life thinking in our minds that we have all the answers, because boy, every time I do that and I open the book, I see just how few answers I really have. Being of one accord and of one phroneo, one mind. One mind means exercising the mind, entertaining or having sentiment or opinion. Having one opinion. You can have your one opinion, but it may not be the one opinion somebody else has got. Let nothing, Paul says, be done through strife, erythria, if I said that correctly. And that means by faction or contention, strife, or vainglory, kenodoxia, which means empty glorying, self-conceit or vainglory. That's what I wanted to do yesterday for about 2 minutes after... That's what I wanted to do for about 2 minutes after I got the paper that Chuck passed out. I mean, so bad I could taste it. I could taste it. And then I got to thinking, boy, Ronnie, you are really wanting to blow your own horn here. But is this the time? Is this the place? No, it's not. We will. And what I told Chuck, I said, I appreciate you giving me the paper. What I will do is go home. And I will, in the spirit of researching Scripture, which is what Scripture research seems to be about, I will write you an answer and send it back, because I think he seems to honestly want input and seems to be mentally able to entertain it. And so we'll do that. But it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. And that means humiliation of mind, modestly, humbleness of mind, humility. Let each esteem, to deem or consider, to give account to. Let's put each other in an account better. Hooper echo, which means to hold oneself above, to excel. Let's put them in the better seat. Put them above yourself. Put them in a position to where you can put yourself in their shoes. I think a lot of times, if we just stop for 2 seconds and consider the feelings, the thoughts of the others, and how we conduct ourselves before we open our mouths, then we're a whole lot better off. And thankfully yesterday, we were all able to do that. I know that these other 3 guys probably wanted to say something either as bad or worse than I did. But I was very was very thankful that all of us were able to kind of, you know, rein ourselves in and not take a position that wouldn't be the holding of what we hold in Christ. And I think that's what Paul's telling us here. The long and the short of it is, look not every man on his own things, but to every man also on the things of others. Let's put others ahead of ourselves. It's the same simple message that Christ had in the Gospel of John for the most part. It's love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love one another. Like-minded is being phroneo. It's being Christ-minded and having a studied opinion. It means to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion or be disposed in a certain direction. The scripture never says not to have an opinion. We're to study to show ourselves approved, but approved to who? Approved. I don't study myself to show myself approved to Mike or Marnie or any of you guys.
Is that for the end of 6?
Verse 6?
5 it is.
Let this mind be in you.
Yeah, I think it is in 5. Hang on a second.
I don't know. 5.
Yeah, let for neo.
Okay.
Which it means exercise your mind, think. And like I said, this word phroneo is used 8 times in Philippians. So all I've done today is, and I didn't have near enough time this morning to put this together the way I want. I hope it came out halfway legitimately logical and has got you thinking. But don't get the wrong opinion about the word like-minded, because it can lead you somewhere where the Greek doesn't take you. And that's my whole point about translations. You'll be careful about translations, especially from Greek to the English. So, yeah, phroneo is the same word used in verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. So, I want to thank you for your time this morning. I don't know how long did I go over. I'm about normal time. So I'm going to stop the recorder here, and I want to thank you guys. No, I just want to stop.